This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Breaking news on The Fan is brought to you by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Get 3 free days of BetQL access by downloading the BetQL app or visiting BetQL.com. As we welcome you back to Grant and Danny, the breaking news is out of the National Football League. Kenny Pickett is being traded. The Steelers are sending their former first-round pick, who they took just 2 years ago with the 20th pick in the draft, to the NFC East, to the Philadelphia Eagles, to back up Jalen Hurts. Somehow, just 13 touchdowns in 25 career games and 24 starts for Kenny Pickett. He got Matt Canada'd, I'd say. But he also got Kenny Picketed, maybe. More on this transaction in just a few minutes. We got business to tend to on Grant and Danny, but we will get to this later in the segment. Kenny Pickett traded by the Steelers to the Eagles, a Pennsylvania trade. I don't know that anybody saw that one coming. Had not heard his name linked to other clubs. But as I told you, we're very excited to kick off the 3 o'clock hour here on Grant and Danny. We're live in Richmond, AM 910, FM 105.1. We're all over DC in the DMV right now on GND on our flagship 106.7, The Fan. Not just because I'm giving away Tom Papa tickets to caller 10 right now at 800-636-1067, the Good Stuff Tour, live special taping, June 15th, Warner Theater, two shows that night at 7 and 9:30. Tickets, more event information, thefandc.com/events, courtesy of Live Nation. But because on the BetQL guest hotline, we are joined by Nick Allegretti, who is the new starting left guard of the Washington Commanders. Nick, thank you for the time. Really appreciate you making a few minutes for us today. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. So a lot of things I want to get into with you. But first, let's just kind of break down your journey to this point. You have spent your entire career, 5 seasons in Kansas City, mostly, you know, providing depth, but also as a starter. You're a 3-time Super Bowl champion, and you just played and started, anchored that interior line in the Super Bowl. So just give us an idea of, I mean, you couldn't have had a better situation with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I look back on the 5 years. It was incredible. Absolutely gave my family, you know, an incredible start to life. But like you said, you know, I was in and out of the starting lineup. Really, I did love my role there, and I took that role to heart. I did absolutely everything that I could with it. But you know, I was looking for a starting role, and you know, in Kansas City, we had two All Pros, and Trey, you know, realistically should have been either an All Pro or Pro Bowl, and probably will be soon. So I needed to find a spot that I could come and compete for a starting job and, you know, earn a starting job day one. And I think this is a great situation. I'm just really excited. I mean, I got to go to the facility yesterday when I signed, and a ton of energy around the facility, which is awesome. Coach Quinn was great. Coach Johnson was awesome. So really, really excited to be out here in the DMV.
Nick, they moved you all over the interior, center, guard. As you said, your role, you did a little bit of everything, and when called upon, you just got to be ready to go. Can you give us more of an idea of what the prep was like and how staying ready works when you don't really have, you know, a job of your own?
Absolutely. Yeah, honestly, I think that, you know, having that role where I was, you know, playing tight end every game and, you know, short yardage, goal line situations, and then having to prepare for right, left guard, and center, it helped me learn the game of football a lot better. You really had to understand the offense a whole lot better. It helped me learn how to build chemistry with guys quickly when I was, you know, thrust into the lineup, you know, week to week or mid-game, wherever it was with injuries. It taught me how to be adaptable to different situations, and then really just was able to learn, you know, that offense inside and out. And now I'm really excited to, you know, take that knowledge that I learned and apply it to a new offense, you know, because after 5 years, not that, you know, it doesn't ever get old. It's a very challenging offense. There's lots of things to learn each year, but I'm excited to go learn a full new offense. I was able to speak with Coach King or Cliff yesterday, and, you know, it was awesome. You know, Pat had a really good relationship with him, and, you know, he had nothing but great things to say. They didn't have any bad things to say about each other. They had a really close relationship, so excited to play for him. Just really fired up to be out here. It's gonna be a great experience.
So you mentioned tight end, and obviously, typically, you're the guy, right? We had a little controversy last year with reporting eligible, but you come in, you rub the chest, you talk to the ref, and you try to maul someone. But that's not all you did. There's a little Travis Kelce in your game. Let's listen back to your touchdown against the Pittsburgh Steelers a couple years ago.
And Mahomes will keep it himself for the moment and then throw for a touchdown. And there is Alec Reddy, who comes in and lines up as an eligible receiver.
I love a big guy touchdown. Have we talked to Cliff Kingsbury about making sure that's in the playbook?
we talked a little yesterday, and, you know, I kind of like the 100% catch percentage that I have right now. I don't mind that, having one for one, one catch, one touchdown. But if my number's called again, I'll definitely take advantage of it. It was a fun experience, not even something that I dreamed of in the NFL. I've been a big guy my whole life, so didn't dream of catching touchdowns, but really, really excited to have that on the resume and part of my career.
The highlight's an all-timer, though. I think it was T.J. Watt, wasn't it? You, like, basically T.J. Watt to the ground. So it's a pancake into basically, like, spin around and just make the catch in one motion. Not too shabby.
Absolutely. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't planned to go to me. I was the fifth read on that. So that's why the celebration was so chaotic, because all the O-linemen were shocked that I caught the ball. I was shocked that I caught the ball. You know, usually gets dumped off to the fullback or thrown to the back of the end zone to one of the tight ends, and it got thrown to me, and it was chaotic, but really good memory there.
One more on the Chiefs, and then I want to dive deeper into coming to Washington and why this made sense for you. A Mahomes question. And just how different is he? Why has he been able to become what he has been, in your opinion?
That's a tough question to kind of try to answer quickly. But I think his composure is one of the biggest things. I was actually thinking about it yesterday when I was talking with Cliff. And I think you can see his heart rate. You can see how he's composing himself, how he's doing. And I think his heart rate dropped after he threw that interception in the Super Bowl. He realized, like, all right, that's it. Like, we can't make another mistake the rest of this game if we want to win. And it was like at the hardest part of the game, after we'd been banging our head against the wall to try to score for three quarters, he makes a mistake, his first one of the game, and then he settles in. So at a position where normally guys will start to unravel is where he starts to figure it out. And I think that's probably the biggest difference maker. Because, yeah, he's got incredible arm talent. He could throw a million different arm angles. But that was the coolest thing for me to watch as a competitor, and watching how calm and collected he could be at, you know, on the biggest stage in the biggest moment of adversity you could imagine. So that was awesome to see as a teammate. And then you can go with just his practice every single day, the way he showed up to games. His competitive nature was incredible. And I tried my absolute best to emulate that. You know, I'm not a quarterback. There's not a whole lot I can emulate from his game, but his competitive nature? I absolutely can.
It's an enlightening answer. That's fascinating. Yeah, not everybody's like that, obviously. That's a pretty special thing. Nick Allegretti, who's going to be the starting left guard very likely for the Commanders, 27 years old, wanted to leave Kansas City to get a chance to do more, and now he's going to have a chance to play a lot of snaps here in D.C. Did you know personally anybody on the staff? Had you worked with anybody before coming here?
Yeah, I guess not in the staff, in the locker room. Andrew Wiley, obviously, I had played 4 seasons with. And then Shane Tobe is on the staff, and I actually played for his dad for 5 years in Kansas City. And then he was a graduate assistant in Illinois. So it was really cool to get to see him yesterday and, you know, see the success he's been having. And it's cool. It's a small world, the football world, you know, at this professional and college level. So it's cool to be able to cross paths with him again and see the things he's accomplished, and really, really happy for him.
How much of free agency, in addition to some of those, like, familiarity, you know, in the fraternity relationships, is fit? I mean, you talked about it sounds like you had a long conversation yesterday, or a good convo with Cliff Kingsbury. I don't know if on the interior of the line, like, what you're doing changes a ton based on coordinator and scheme, but what was that part of the process like, trying to figure out, you know, am I going to be a really good match for how they want to operate?
I knew the style offense that Cliff had run in Arizona, and then obviously, you know, watched a ton of Pat's old film from Texas Tech that we implemented with the Chiefs, or they implemented. I'm not sure how we talk about that yet. Got to work on that. But, yeah, the fit was important. But the good thing, I think, about my game is that I'm not a pass-heavy offensive lineman. I'm not a run-heavy offensive lineman. I think the biggest thing that I do well is I try to compete every single play and be as consistent as I possibly can. And I think that fits in pretty much any offense. So, yeah, I'm absolutely excited to play for Cliff. He sounds like an incredible coach. Pat had nothing but great things to say about him. But, you know, I think that I could generally fit in pretty much any offense with my style of play.
Did they tell you, and Nick Allegretti, the newest Commanders offensive lineman, is with us, did they tell you, hey, if you come here, we're thinking left guard, you could start there? Or, A, is that a position you've played? Because I think it's been more maybe right guard and center from what I've seen. But then, B, like, how vocal were they about actual role? Or are you kind of doing some projecting?
I have a dozen starts at left. So that was a good chunk of my playing time in Kansas City. So I'm real comfortable there. And then it was kind of a process of elimination. You know, Sam Cosby's a great player at right guard. I saw them sign Tyler, obviously a center. So process of elimination, left guard was a position that I, you know, wanted to come here and compete for. And, you know, they didn't say here's, you know, day one starting job, because I don't need that. I don't want that. I want to come in here and compete regardless. I want to compete every single year, whether I earn the job this year or not. I want to show up the season after and compete. And that's, you know, that's what happens in Kansas City. You know, I at one point had the job and I lost it. You know, Joe Chitty came in, an incredible player. But having that competitive nature every single day, every single year is, you know, what you need to build what we're trying to build here in Washington.
Nick, I don't know how tangible it is for a guy who's been here for 48 hours or whatever, right? But with new ownership and a new front office and a new coaching staff, I mean, this fan base is giddy about this week. Like, people are ready to explode with excitement. Is that palpable in any way as a player coming into the building? Or because you don't know what it was like before, is that not fair?
You're right. I don't know what it was like before, but immediately when you got in the building, you could tell there was a renewed energy. A lot of the people there are new, but we spoke with plenty of people that were there for, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, had seen multiple coaching staff, and they were ecstatic with just the first, you know, few weeks of Coach Quinn being there. And then we actually spoke with one of the majority owners, Mitch, and he was as nice of a human being as I've ever talked to. Seemed ecstatic to have, you know, the ability to be part of a team that was able to sign. I mean, I don't know the number. I'm sure you do 14-ish free
16
agents.
16 so far. 14 external, yeah.
Yeah, to be able to, you know, I don't want to say the word convince, but attract that many free agents who have been throughout the league and have been other places that have connections, you know, like I had in Kansas City, and to be able to attract that many guys to leave to another situation is a big thing. So that was definitely something the guys were excited about, and, you know, just the energy that Coach Quinn brings. You know, I talked with guys that played for him in the past, you know, doing my research before I made this decision, and you know, a lot of guys said that he's, you know, very similar to Pete Carroll in the way that guys had looked to Pete Carroll on his career, and that's, you know, an incredible endorsement in this league. The positive nature, the energy. So it was absolutely palpable. You know, as you said, as soon as you walked in, you felt there's a new regime, a new era that we're trying to build here in Washington.
Couple of moments left here with the new left guard of the Commanders, Nick Allegretti, by way of the Chiefs, a three-time Super Bowl champ. He's got an extra box he brings just with his Super Bowl rings when he moves. He's got plenty of hardware. What did we do for dinner, by the way, to celebrate the new contract? Was that a steak or something else?
We went to I wish I could remember the place, but we just went to Clyde's.
Clyde's Willow
Farm.
Strong.
Clyde's Willow Farm. I mean, what a great place. You know, I was walking through just the whole building and met the general manager in the back, and he was telling me the story of the, you know, the four buildings that they brought in. You know, took the one barn down piece by piece to rebuild it. I'm a history guy too, so really fired up to walk in there, have a great meal, see an incredibly historic building. Just a really cool experience.
Are you ready for the possibility of a rookie QB and someone who's got to, you know, learn the ropes after working with, I don't want to call him the greatest of all time yet, but certainly the greatest of his era in Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't want to say that, you know, I was looking for a rookie quarterback, you know, in the situation.
I really wanted to have to block for a guy who might not have it all figured out.
Yeah, but, you know, the leadership role is something that I absolutely was looking for. And I was able to do whatever, you know, a little bit of leadership, a little bit of that in Kansas City, but they have a ton of it, you know, with Chris Jones and Patrick and Travis. You know, there's leadership everywhere in that building, obviously starting up top with Coach Reed. So it wasn't necessarily needed, and I really wanted to go to a place where that leadership would be needed. And, you know, having a rookie quarterback, it's going to be needed, you know, especially starting in that offensive line room. You know, we have Andrew Wiley, who's been here for a year. Sam Cosmi been here a couple of years. And then, you know, myself and Tyler, you know, really like the room that we, you know, we're starting to build. And I'm excited for the possibility of that offensive line room being the guys to help lead this team and start us off in the right direction. And then you obviously want the quarterback to be a leader as he grows, but really, really excited for that opportunity.
All right, well, Nick, I'll let you go on this. So when we get players in town on, we try to let, you know, our fans and our listeners get to know them a little bit. So I'm going to go off the beaten path here with some rapid-fire questions to get to know Nick Allegretti before we let you go.
All righty.
So Chicago guy, I saw you were retweeting some stuff on the Bulls and the Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite team outside of football?
All right, that's tough. I'll say I got to go White Sox, actually. Baseball. Love that sport. Incredible. Eat some hot dogs and drink some beers and watch the White Sox.
All right, let's go. I'm going to get you over to Nats Park in the good seats this year if you want them. We'll get you behind, we'll get you behind home plate. Last TV show you've binged?
Bones, the
interesting
crime show.
Okay. Favorite movie and actor?
Favorite movie is Four Brothers with Mark Wahlberg.
I love that movie.
Incredible.
That is such
does not
sneaky,
get the credit.
Great movie.
It, does not get the credit it deserves.
Was it his name Bobby Mercer in that movie?
Bobby Mercer. I mean,
what a
movie.
What a badass. Is Wahlberg your one seed or who's your actor?
You know, I don't know if I have an actor. I'm not great on names, but if a movie all day, Four Brothers.
Last meal. Right? You get one meal, you're going to go out on top. What is it?
It's pizza. I'm a Chicago guy. I got to find some pizza out here because Chicago has the best pizza in the world. And that was one thing Kansas City did not have. And I'm hoping to find some good pizza out here because that's the hardest thing being away from home.
One thing that you, and this will be the last one, one thing that you spend like more money on than you wish you would. Like for me, it's going out to eat or whatever. But what's something that you like can't help yourself with?
Coins. I don't want to say, you know, I'm okay spending the money on it because it's an investment, but I'm a coin collector. So I love the history. I'm a coin collector for sure and definitely have spent a couple more dollars maybe than I should have over the years, but I love that.
A coin collector who's in on baseball and, most importantly, who knows how good Four Brothers is, I think I'm a little steamed up for Nick Allegretti right now. Hey, Nick, thank you for the time. I kept you too long, but you were too good. That was your fault. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me on. That was awesome.
Great getting to know you. There's Nick Allegretti, the newest offensive lineman of the Washington Commanders. I think I could get to like that guy. By the way, you all sleep on Four Brothers. Darius, your face lit up when he said that.
Man. I mean, what a phenomenal movie choice.
I haven't seen that movie in years. That was an 05 drop that kind of, I don't even know if it was in theaters for long. I certainly didn't see it then. I was in high school. But that's Tyrese, Andre 3000, Marky Mark Wahlberg. Such a cast, man. I can't think of the guy's name who plays the councilman in that, but he's in everything. Barry Henley, I guess, is his name. Oh, what a good film. Really good catching up with him. All right, let's break down the Kenny Pickett trade. Why are the Eagles interested in adding him? And what do we think of the haul for the Steelers? By the way, compensation for Kenny Pickett, about what the compensation was for Sam Howell. That speaks highly, again, to how much Seattle likes Howell, but also to what Adam Peters got back for a guy that was going to be the third quarterback here, probably. I will do that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. No, Danny. I'm Grant. Hopefully, Danny's back on Monday. This is a Darius Dameron, Ryan Clary production, live on The Fan with you until 6 tonight. Half hour shorter than normal. Nats baseball coming your way at 6 this evening. We got a chance for you to win tickets to see Old Glory DC Rugby. We're giving those tickets away at 4 ahead of the Beltway Blitz in about a half hour. The news since we got on the air that has resonated the loudest around the NFL, the Steelers trading quarterback Kenny Pickett to the Philadelphia Eagles for a pick swap that is effectively similar in value to what Washington was able to get for Sam Howell. Pickett was a first-round pick. Howell was a fifth-round pick. I know Sam, with his numbers last year from a passing yardage touchdown standpoint, part of that was the attempts, clearly, but just the production. If you got eyeballs, you saw it. He looked and flashed better and did more in his season as a starter last year than really anything you've seen from Kenny Pickett to this point. So I'm not suggesting that Sam Howell isn't every bit as good a prospect moving forward as Pickett, but the Steelers used a first-round pick on the guy, and he was QB2 on their depth chart, and their starter makes $1 million. Meanwhile, Sam Howell was the third quarterback in D.C., with a backup that makes $6 million and a starter who was going to be the number two overall pick, meaning a definitive, immediate, non-questioned starter. And what I'm trying to get at by giving you the two situations is Hal presumably would have had a lot less value on the trade block. Third stringer, buried behind a guy making a lot of money and a guy who was picked second versus Pickett, a former first-round pick, has not played very well, I grant you that. But second on the depth chart, and the only thing standing between him and starting is a guy who was terrible 2 years ago, was just okay last year, and who you're only paying $1 million to in Russell Wilson. And yet and still, Adam Peters in Washington got about the exact same thing that Omar Khan, the GM of the Steelers, got by trading Pickett. So just another batch of evidence, I'd say, to suggest that Adam Peters did a really good job with the Sam Howell trade. Specific to the Pickett deal and what it means for Pittsburgh, well, look, they need a backup quarterback, and you can find one on the cheap. They're available. Guys that you have as your second quarterback and pay $3, $4, $5 million to kind of grow on trees. So you can find, you know, Ryan Tannehill or somebody like him if they want to do that. But Russell Wilson's the guy. They made the addition of Wilson official today, put out a press release, an image on social, welcoming him to Pittsburgh. He's going to be their starter, and he's going to cost them almost no money. My spidey senses are going off a little bit here. I got a tingle. To me, this screams like Pickett did not take the Russell Wilson trade well. And I should add that this is 100% speculative, as if that's not obvious with me sitting in D.C., not covering the Steelers beat. But think about it. They trade for Russell Wilson. You've still got Pickett under contract, kind of on the cheap. I know he's a first-round pick, but a rookie deal. You're only paying Wilson $1 million. It's not like he's played that well where he's not benchable or he's, you know, this guy that is definitely going to block anybody behind him. It would have made some sense to continue to have Pickett and work with him and see where the Russ Wilson things goes. But if you're Pickett, and after two seasons, a year and a half of which with an offensive coordinator that gave your offense very little chance. Like, you could hate Kenny Pickett and think he's terrible as a prospect if you want to. You could tell me his hands are small and he's no good. And you might be right. I'm not arguing with you. You also have to admit and acknowledge that they had a horrendous offensive plan and design and scheme, and that Matt Canada had no business being their coordinator for as long as he was. And that stunted and didn't help Pickett's development, right? And this is not like, oh, Eric Bieniemy wasn't that good. No, Eric Bieniemy, to me, I would hire 73 times before I hired Matt Canada. Like, they're not in the same zip code as far as I'm concerned. So I say that to suggest that if you're Pickett and you go, okay, I got benched at the end of last season. They chose Mason Rudolph over me when I got healthy. This isn't really a good spot right now, but that's fine. I'll earn my job back this offseason. I'll at least get a chance to compete. And then they go trade for Russell Wilson, a superstar at one point in time, an MVP candidate, a Super Bowl champion at one point in time. I like to say he's a binder press conference guy. He's a folder presser guy. When they introduce him to the media, you walk into the auditorium, and when you sit down, they hand you a folder with a big picture on the front, glossy. You open it. It's got all his rankings all time and among active players. Like, this is a name. This is not having to compete against Ryan Tannehill or Mason Rudolph. They brought in Russell Wilson because he's going to start. So I'll bet Pickett didn't take kindly to that. And by the way, I don't blame them. For me, I wouldn't have brought in Russell Wilson. I think it's a giant waste of time. You might win 10 games this year. Maybe you make the playoffs. He helps Mike Tomlin continue his streak of not having losing seasons, probably. But you just kick the can down a road. You still need your quarterback of the future. Wilson makes it harder to find your quarterback sooner because you can't bottom out. You're not going to draft high enough next year to get the guy. You're either going to have to trade a ton to go get the quarterback, which makes it less likely that that guy's going to have a lot of success when you find him. Or you just have to take QBs late first, like Kenny Pickett. And generally, it works out about as well as this did. So I'm not a big fan of the bringing in Russell Wilson from that perspective, but you can't argue with paying him $1 million. I mean, the guy's making probably 15 to 20 million less than he should be making to be on your roster this year. But you can see where Pickett, who was a first-round pick just 2 years removed, probably behind the scenes bristles and goes, you got to be kidding me. And who knows if his agent or he or anybody actually asked for a trade. But if he tells you he's not happy, you're going, bro, you're not good enough to not be happy. Like, if you're going to be a pain in the butt potentially, you're out of here. And maybe it wasn't this complicated. Maybe it was as simple as they planned at the start of the offseason to trade Pickett because they've decided he's just not good enough. And the fact that they started Mason Rudolph, a career backup over him, down the stretch when they were playing for the postseason last year, is pretty indicative that they don't think Kenny Pickett's that good. So maybe they never really thought he was going to back up Russell Wilson. I guess we don't know. But as far as the Eagles go, why not? Pick swap, kick the tires. Guy's got some talent. He was an outstanding college player. He flashed. Not that often, if we're being honest. I mean, the guy had 13 touchdowns and 24 career starts, which is almost impossible to do. But maybe if you're the Eagles and you had a strong evaluation, you know, first, second round grade or something on him coming out of college, maybe your thought is, like mine, Canada did him no favors. They've not had really good personnel. People talk about George Pickens like he's Randy Moss. I don't really see that. I think he's fine. And it seems like he's also a guy that is a bit of a pain in the butt for a quarterback to deal with as well. But they just traded Deontay Johnson, who's been a high-volume targets and catches guy who they moved on from, but didn't score, you know, dropped a lot of passes. I just don't think it's been a great situation for a quarterback. So now Russell Wilson has to deal with some of those things. And their receiver room right now is George Pickens and a couple of guys named Dez Fitzpatrick and Calvin Austin III. That's what they're running with at the moment. I guess they'll hope they can get something out of Denzel Mims, who they brought in. But the Eagles part of this, I find kind of interesting. I never think it's a bad idea to try to just get some value out of a QB that has struggled. But he immediately becomes the backup to Hurts. Is he worse than Mariota, who was their backup to Hurts last year? Probably not. You know, at least he's got some upside that Mariota doesn't have. Different players, right? And an example, too, everyone seems to think that your backup quarterback and your starting quarterback have to resemble each other stylistically. You know, one is a runner, the other has to be. I mean, Pickett is not a whole lot like Hurts in terms of style, I would say. Jalen throws a better deep ball, can run around as a dual threat. Kenny Pickett, while somewhat athletic, is a lot more of a pocket passer, short and intermediate stuff. So they're going against type in terms of if he's coming out of the bullpen off the bench, it's going to be a very, very different look to that offense. Their coordinator now is Kellen Moore, remember, they brought in. He was in Dallas and in L.A., so no real ties to Kenny Pickett. But interesting trade today out of the NFL nonetheless. If you missed Nick Allegretti a segment ago, I thought he was great. You can podcast that when we're done tonight, thefandc.com. You heard him saying he left Kansas City where he won 3 Super Bowls in 5 years because he wants to start. The guy wants to play. You can't blame him. He's a competitor. He's 27 years old. He was backing up at 3 positions. He'd occasionally get work. 9 starts in 2020 in the pandemic year. 3 in 2022, just 1 last year. I think he had 80 total snaps in the regular season for the Chiefs. But what was awesome was he got called upon to start for them in the Super Bowl, and he played every snap. And he played the second half of that game with a torn UCL, basically like the Tommy John surgery, you know, elbow ligament, like he's a pitcher or something. Happened right before halftime, right around the 2-minute warning. There's actually video of it where he goes down, he grabs his elbow, and basically, because of halftime, he was able to, God knows what he had to take or what he did to finish the game. But, you know, to regroup and finish for the Chiefs, played half of a football game with a torn ligament in his elbow. Crazy to think about. But the kind of guy with 3 rings and, you know, that kind of toughness that you want in your locker room for sure. Our double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. On Grant and Danny. We're blitzing at 4. That's when we're giving away those tickets to go watch rugby if you want those. Next hour, I want to get into Seattle really likes Sam Howell. I mean, John Schneider, their GM, talked publicly about the trade yesterday, was on some show. He loves him from Sam Howell. So we should dive into that in the 4 o'clock hour here on The Fan. G&D without Danny today on The Fan, our double play each and every day at this time. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. It's Friday, which means our double play, winning off the field. You call us at 800-636-1067. You make it about you for a minute or two. It is your chance to tell us what teeny tiny thing went your way that nobody else would care about. Don't do it for me. Don't do it for our ailing and recovering pal, Danny Ruye. Do it for the former general manager, Goose Allen.
We're winning off the field, but we got to start winning on the field.
I'll give you mine in a second, but I wanted to tell a very quick double play story here. I just thought this was funny. We don't quite do this every day on the show, although we probably could with Danny and I having a combined 5 young people in our homes. Like a kid say the damnedest thing segment. But last night, I'm trying to get my kids to bed. That process can take, as those of you with children know, somewhere between on a really good night, if you're lucky, like 14 minutes, and on a really bad night, like an hour and 36 minutes. So somewhere in that window there, ideally. But my daughter is 4. We get her to bed. She's laying down. She's feeling good. And I get my son, door closed. He's making all of his suggestions. Nobody's ever been more thirsty than a kid at bedtime. They need a drink. They need to come down three times for ice or a straw or whatever it is. So I'm walking downstairs, and my daughter's walking to the bathroom. And I was like, "You going to the potty?" And she's like, "Yeah." She goes to the bathroom. I'm waiting for her to come out. She goes back to her room. And she said, "I didn't really have to go to the bathroom, Dad." And I said, "Okay." She said, "But I did a tactical wee." And I said, "What is a tactical wee?" And she said, "It's when you go to the bathroom before bedtime so that you don't wet the bed. It's a tactical wee." She's four. That's what she said. Now, I Googled it, and apparently she got this from the TV show Bluey, which we love, which is like these little Australian dogs. And kids just see something, they remember it forever. But between that and today, her saying the word tomato for tomato, we are raising like a British or Australian child. I can't really tell which. Between Peppa Pig and Bluey, that's kind of what we're working with now. How am I winning off the field, you ask? I have not coughed at all during today's show, which for most of the last couple months, my average is 11.5 coughs per show. Therefore, I am
winning off the field.
I haven't had any moments where I've needed to stop and tell you guys I need some water or ask Darius or Ryan to just start talking because my throat won't allow me to do my job today. Therefore, I am
winning off the field.
And Darius found a way with some weird wiring to rig the TV so we could watch a thing that we wanted to watch today. Therefore, I am
winning off the field.
We got a good thing going overall. Let's get to the calls. Rich is in Olney on G&D. What's up, buddy?
What's up, Grant? How you doing today, man?
I am well, sir.
Great segue with your kids for my winning off the field.
Let's go.
I got home a little bit late from work the other night, so I walk in, and my 11-year-old's playing Uno against my wife. It can get pretty heated every now and then, but the game was getting ready to wrap up. My wife had like one card left. All of a sudden, my son goes, draw two, skip, Uno, I'm out. I was so proud. Therefore, I am
winning off the field.
It has been so long since I've played Uno that I'm guessing she went on a crazy run, or that was a crazy run right there. And I didn't connect all the dots, but I like the idea of a game of Uno. I just haven't played in a minute. That used to be my go-to. By the way, he was thinking about like coming home or what was going on at the house. The pits is walking home right at bedtime. Just for all the parents out there. Because it's when your kids are like the most salty. Or you're just like trying to get them to bed. And that first hour is just like, you're just walking home from work. And now we're going to do this for an hour. There's no easing into the at-home process. Next thing you know is 8 p.m. Just a little complaint. Joe is in Noakesville. What's up, Joe? How are you?
Good, Grant. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
I'm going to keep it with the kids theme.
Oh, we are playing with parents today.
Today is my birthday, and I got to spend it with my daughters out on a bike ride. So I am
winning off the field.
Good for you. How old are we today, Joe?
36.
Atta guy. Very, very cool. How old are your daughters?
11 and 9.
All right. Awesome, man. Good for you. Congratulations. Girl dad Joe on a bike ride. It is so nice outside today. It's one of those, like, you get in your, you're just walking around the neighborhood, you get in your feels of like, maybe life's not that bad. You know what I mean? Like, maybe the Nats will be okay this season. I was walking by Nats Park, just so gorgeous outside. I was like, maybe James Wood will win Rookie of the Year in this ballpark. But if it was cold or it was cloudy or it was gross, I'd have been like, I'm kind of tired of finishing in last place and everything being awful. But it felt better walking around the neighborhood today. Boys, any winning off the fields that you got before we keep it moving here on G&D? Darius, anything good happening for you?
Not really. I mean, I hate Madden so much right now.
Oh, tough loss.
Yeah, tough start, 0-1. So definitely not winning off the field in that aspect.
Or on the field, as it were.
that as well. But hey, I just got my lunch delivered. So
from where?
I just got my lunch delivered from Potbelly.
You live in a world where somebody brings you your Potbelly sub, so you don't have to leave your place of work.
This is correct.
Therefore
I am
winning off the field.
Who'd you lose to last night? What team?
The Ravens, who I've played a billion times in 5 seasons so far.
You're just over it.
I mean,
you're in
their
so division,
done.
In fairness.
I am, but I also play them in the playoffs every season. So,
Rhino, how are you in the win column today?
You know what? This win actually just came about 1 minute ago. So I started off today with an acai bowl, which is fine. It's a healthy-ish smoothie bowl.
Should I know what that is? You were eating it today and asked me about it, and I had no file. It just looked like a big tub of purple goo. I didn't know what it was.
It's basically just a smoothie in a bowl that you eat with a spoon. So it's a little bit of a thicker consistency.
So what's different? Is it a smoothie in a bowl, or is there something else in it that's not in a smoothie?
So, yes, you can add, like, fruit on top. Like, I have, like, strawberries and banana and coconut. I also add in a little bit of Nutella. I also add a little bit of honey in there. So it's actually a really good bowl.
It's kind of silly.
It's very good.
Do you get it a la, like, a Chipotle or Fast Casual, go down the line and tell them what to put in the bowl?
Not really. So it's kind of something that you order online beforehand. It's, like, a very hipster establishment over in Arlington there. So... And also granola is in there as well. So there's kind of there's a crunchy sensation in it. It's really good.
It's called Asahi Hakim?
Acai bowl.
Okay.
An acai bowl. So I had
not
that
to
acai
be confused
bowl.
With the Torrey Holt bowl. Very, very different. Sorry. Darius gets it. You're asleep. You're sleeping.
I'm dead asleep.
This is the late 90s, early 2000s Rams greatest show on turf.
Uh-huh. I'm sure. Greatest show on turf. I'm so sure. But
I'm sure you're sure, by the way.
I'm sure I am.
The disrespect.
But I've also just started to think, I might want lunch. And there is a great establishment down the road, Cornucopia.
You doing the cope?
I'm going to do the cope.
Let's go.
I'm going to get a little Cornucopia to kind of just polish off my palate.
Now, this is late in the game. They're only open till 5, our favorite sandwich shop in the Navy Yard.
Yep.
Are they going to have chocolate chip cookies?
I hope they do, and I'm going to speak that into existence by saying I'm winning off the field because they're going to have chocolate chip cookies. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field?
I'm going to tell you, based on our 50 experiences of ordering after 3 p.m., where they've had chocolate chip cookies all of 3 times, it's not going to happen.
Stone cold lock, they won't have cookies.
More on this as it develops. You guys will get your resolution as you wait with bated breath on does Ryan get his chocolate chip cookies a little later in the show. It is Blitz time next. Ahead of the Blitz, we will give away those final tickets of the week to the Old Glory rugby experience that we got for you over in Maryland right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.